Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Did you know that 50% of pregnancies are unplanned? Perhaps even more surprising is that of those half of pregnancies that are unplanned, half of those happen with people using contraception. Created to help lower Oklahoma's high teen birth rate, the Take Control Initiative offers long-acting, reversible contraception to women in Tulsa County that want to better plan their pregnancies. Oklahoma is number 2 in the nation in teen pregnancy, but over the last 7 years, the Take Control Initiative has helped lower the Tulsa teen birth rate by 42%, and a 2017 report that compared Tulsa to other Oklahoma counties showed that while overall the teen birth rate is dropping, it's fallen much more here in Tulsa County. My guest today is Laura Bellis, who serves as Executive Director of the Take Control Initiative. TCI's mission is to empower women through education, outreach, and free clinical service that provides safe and effective birth control methods. TCI uses 2 forms of birth control that are less well known to the general public, but are growing in popularity with both the medical community and the lay public: intrauterine devices and matchstick-sized hormonal implants that are placed in a woman's upper arm. Both IUDs and implants provide years of hassle-free contraception, the motto being, set it and forget it, and they are both 99% effective when properly implanted. The Take Control Initiative partners with local clinics and health providers to offer free, long-acting birth control to any woman, regardless of her age or ability to pay. Laura Bellis, Executive Director of Tulsa's Take Control Initiative, is my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Laura Bellis of Take Control Initiative, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Let's start by framing the problem. Oklahoma is one of the leading states in the number of unplanned pregnancies, right?
Yes, so we're second highest in the nation for teen pregnancies, and then we do have a very high rate of unintended or unplanned pregnancies as well. And I do want to highlight another critical challenge, which is that maternal mortality rates in Oklahoma are high and rising, and that's not often spoken about.
Do we know why the teen pregnancy rate is so high in Oklahoma?
That's a combination of information, which would be, right, education happening in school settings, in homes, et cetera, coupled with lack of access to resources and information on how to access those resources.
So I have read in some of your literature that through Take Control Initiative, you have helped to bring down the unintended pregnancy rate and certainly the teen pregnancy rate. Give us some sense of how successful you've been.
Yeah, so Take Control Initiative started in 2010, and since our baseline year of 2009, the teen birth rate in Tulsa has dropped 42.3%, which is a huge gain as far as empowering teens and families here in Tulsa. And that's definitely a collaborative community effort, but we also know that the work we do at Take Control, providing the most effective forms of birth control, is a key part of that, because when birth control is highly effective, it works.
So what are the effective forms? I mean, there are a number of forms of birth control mm-hmm. out there. For example, I know from learning about Take Control that you, I would say, specialize, if you want to call it that, in LARC, which stands for long-acting reversible contraception. And that's maybe a buzzword, but specifically that means a couple of different things. Tell us about those.
Yes. So the forms that would be considered long-acting reversible contraception, or LARC, would be IUDs, intrauterine devices, and the arm implant. There's also the depot shot or injection, which we don't cover at Take Control because it's not as long-lasting. So IUDs, again, intrauterine devices, and the arm implant are methods that are 99% effective. They last between 3 and 10 years, and once they're placed by a healthcare provider, they're very low maintenance. They're kind of called set it and forget it methods. You don't have to worry about it once it's placed. They, again, can last up to 10 years depending on which one you get, but you don't have to keep them in the whole time. You could always have them removed sooner by a healthcare provider. And it's worth noting that IUDs in the implant are 20 times more effective than the birth control pill.
Okay, so let's stretch that out a little bit. Why are they so much more effective than birth control pills? I mean, the birth control pill has a pretty long-standing and, I would say, overall pretty good reputation. I mean, that is, of course, the issue with those is you have to remember to take them. But they certainly have a whole culture around them because they've been around so long.
Yes, so as you mentioned, the remembering to take them part is really that key difference. It's that you have to remember to take them same time every day, et cetera. And so that factor on its own, which can in some ways make it a really popular choice because you can go get a prescription, go get your pills from the pharmacy. You take them as you select to, you set alarms to remember them. All those factors and pieces coming into play can make them convenient for, oh, I'll just stop taking them and be done with these pills. But at the same time, you can forget them. And it's really that human error piece, which is, especially for women, maybe you switched purses or you ended up with different plans or your schedule changes. There's so many factors there. And that level of efficacy can be really hard to maintain for any individual, no matter how responsible they are.
So I saw one of your statistics, and I'll just, this is for kind of an interesting comparison. So you are comparing on a slide that you were nice enough to share with me that one IUD, you know, can provide 5 years of birth control versus almost 2,000 daily pills that someone has to remember to take each and every day if they want to avoid getting pregnant.
Yeah, so that's a huge lifestyle difference. And that's one of those key differences when you talk about IUDs and implants. Those methods provide basically a worry-free experience. Once they're placed, you can literally forget that they're there because you don't have to worry about daily administration. And so that convenience really can alter someone's entire lifestyle. You're not worrying about taking something every day. You're not picking up a prescription once a month. You're not paying a copay once a month. Once you have it, and you don't have to think about it.
So let's focus on the intrauterine device for a second. I would say in popular literature or the way people think about them, they just aren't as well known. And I've been luckily in-serviced about them as a healthcare provider, but I think a lot of people aren't, and I think there are misconceptions. Particularly because in the 70s, there was a bad experience with the Dalcon Shield, which was, I don't know if it was one of the first IUDs on the market, but there was something that just essentially scared lots of U.S.-based patients essentially away from that. I think the IUD's always been a little more popular in Europe, but it's definitely made a comeback. But what are some of the misconceptions? For example, like there's nulliparous women, that is women who've never been pregnant, can't get an IUD. That's not true at all.
That's not true. You can get one if you have not had children. That's a big misconception, both on the part of women and healthcare providers. Another one is, as you mentioned, in the 70s, the Dalcon Shield. It was causing infections because of the strings. They were microfibers, and so they were kind of having bacteria collected in them. Today, we just have newer, safer technology, and that's not a concern. Oh, there's so many other kind of myths out there, and a lot of it just comes from fears where people hear stories from friends or things get passed on, especially, again, going back to experiences people had getting infections in the 70s when we have much newer, safer technology for these devices today. And people have real fears there where they're like, what if this harms my fertility, or all sorts of things they might have heard from friends or family or been passed down from their mothers, when these don't impact your fertility and they are very safe. And just like any medication, could there be complications? Absolutely, but those are very rare.
So people always ask, if you have an IUD and then you want to get pregnant, so the IUD is taken out, is there a delay? Does it take a long time?
So the return to fertility is very quick, and it would be back to however fertile a woman was before she had the IUD. So it could be a week, a month, et cetera, but it's not a very long period of time compared to other methods, for instance, the Depo shot, where it could take up to a year for someone to return to fertility.
And let's just point out, too, that the Depo shot, which Take Control does not sponsor, does not offer, those only really last about 3 months, 12 weeks or so. And so those you have to get a shot every 3 months, which is a nuisance in and of itself, let alone other side effects from it. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Laura Bellis, who is Executive Director of the Take Control Initiative, a group that works to empower women through education, outreach, and free clinical services for the most effective forms of birth control. And if you want to learn more about Take Control, they have a website, takecontrolok.org. And Laura Bellis, we talked a little bit about IUDs. I've read in some of your literature there are sort of two, I guess, that you use. One is hormonal and one isn't.
Yeah, so hormonal IUDs have levonorgestrel, which it's a non-estrogen progestin-based hormone. So those ones kind of have a different indications where they can really reduce bleeding when it comes to your period, or even stop a period altogether, can help with cramps, et cetera. And so for a lot of women, that's a very popular option. And then you have the copper IUD, which is the non-hormonal IUD, which is literally just copper. And so it's not going to have some of those same effects. But again, it's no hormone, so sometimes that's a very popular choice as well.
Let's talk a little bit about implants. So what do we mean when we talk about implants? And you mentioned that these go in the arm. I guess what are there different options there, or do you just stick with kind of one brand or one product?
Yeah, there is exactly one arm implant. And so IUDs have this little T shape. The arm implant is kind of just a little almost matchstick size device, and it just gets placed right below the surface of your skin on the inside of your upper arm. It's very popular with teenagers because of that, so it's discreet. It feels like a safe place to have it, and that's the most popular choice for the women that we provide IUDs and implants for in Tulsa.
And so the implants work how? They just kind of give a continuous, steady supply of hormone that essentially prevents ovulation?
Yes. So implants and IUDs can prevent pregnancy in similar ways around thickening cervical mucus, which can prevent sperm from getting through, and then stopping ovulation, thinning the lining of the uterus as well, so implantation can't happen. So they operate in a few different ways to prevent pregnancy.
And amongst your partner clinics, is there a preferred method? I mean, are IUDs more popular? You mentioned among young women, it seems like implants are more popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, you must keep the statistics. So I guess what is used more in Tulsa?
Mm-hmm. In Tulsa and actually Oklahoma, based on some 2013 data from the CDC, the implant and the arm implant is far and away more popular than the IUD, which we're actually kind of an outlier in other states, and looking at some other locations, IUDs are more popular. And so we're an outlier in that way.
Have we seen the rate of IUD placements go up, or as education has grown and more awareness about their safety and efficacy has burgeoned into the, you know, mainstream ideas?
Yes, they're becoming much more popular. We saw them go from some statistics I saw about a year ago from state Medicaid. They went from in 2006 being about 2% of women picking birth control were selecting the IUD to up to 12% by about 2015. And so we see that IUDs are becoming increasingly popular and more women are selecting them. And part of that is because here in Tulsa locally, we do so much outreach and education when it comes to these methods so that people know they're an option in the first place.
And I like that catchphrase, sort of set it and forget it. I mean, that does seem like a very simple thing, not having to remember to take a pill or use some kind of barrier method. Something that always surprises me, and I mean, it's pretty well known, but I think it's worth sharing with listeners, is that, you know, half of pregnancies are unplanned in the United States. I mean, a full half. I mean, I guess maybe that's not surprising to some, but it's always surprising to me.
Yeah, I think so. What's really compelling is that 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, and then of those, half happen while someone's using a method of birth control, which is another surprising statistic and says that birth control is not always effective. And people may not realize that because they believe when a doctor prescribes me something, of course they're going to give me something effective. People don't think to look up the rates like that because we're trusting our doctors, which we oftentimes, of course, should. But there are differences. And it's also worth noting with that 50% unplanned statistic, that shows us that pregnancy is something that's often our default setting, and that's a national trend. And some of the work we do at Take Control is to really reframe and think about how can we make pregnancy not our default setting, but something we do by design with purpose to ensure that we're having healthy families and babies.
You're right. I agree that statistic that of those, half of pregnancies that are unplanned, half of those occur while people are using contraception. So is this the human factors thing, just the error? I mean, right, we assume, we hope our doctors are giving us something effective, but people, we've already talked about, forget to take pills. But what are some other reasons that other contraceptive methods fail?
Mm-hmm. Well, it could also include, right, a condom is a method of contraception, and we know that those break or could be damaged by heat, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes it could be that the method itself is inherently flawed, and then the rest of it does come down oftentimes to human error.
So let's say someone is listening and thinks, wow, this is, you know, sounds really great. It's in Tulsa. It's Take Control. Either I want to, or I have a daughter, for example, or something who I want to think about some form of long-acting contraception. How do folks learn? I mean, we talked a little bit about your website, but where does someone come in contact with Take Control?
Yeah, so we partner with 19 clinic sites in Tulsa, which includes County Health Department and community health clinics that are local, as well as OU and OSU. So you can look at our website and look at the locations page for some of those options. And then there are many other private providers that do offer these methods as well. And then if someone wants to just learn more, of course, there's our website. But we also go out and do education sessions at a variety of community partner sites where we talk about not just these methods, but all methods of birth control, because we do want people to know all their options and also know how to access all their options.
One of the issues that Take Control Initiative confronts is that we have a significant number of uninsured people here in Tulsa County. And is Take Control only in Tulsa County?
Yes, we are Tulsa County specific.
Tulsa County specific. So one of the numbers I saw in your figures was basically a fifth of people in Tulsa County, 20%, are uninsured. And so this is really aiming at addressing needs for birth control or contraception for folks who don't have another means of accessing safe and affordable contraception.
Yes. So we act as the payer of last resort, where if someone goes to one of our partner clinic sites and they're uninsured, their insurance won't cover these methods, or maybe they're in a situation like a domestic violence one where they can't use their partner's insurance and don't want them to know that they're accessing a birth control method, then we'll come in and cover those costs if they qualify for our services, because otherwise the cost is completely prohibitive upfront if you're uninsured.
Yeah, so what are the costs? I mean, so we talked about these methods, the IUD and the implant. Well, how much? I know it varies too, of course, where you get it or what your insurance is, but if you don't have insurance, like what's the retail rate, if you will?
Yeah, so one of these devices alone can be up to $880. And once you add in clinical fees, this could be $1,300 of upfront cost for someone, which is completely prohibitive for both that patient and then also for some of our health centers, where they have to be able to purchase and stock these devices for someone to get them, which is why we provide grants to clinic sites so that clinics can even afford to purchase them in the first place and have them there for someone. And then when someone wants them, we can cover those costs.
So are you in the business right now of doing the technical training on how to put these devices in, or is that you assume that these are healthcare providers, as long as you're able to provide the supply and patients are willing to come there, that the connection is made?
Yeah, so we work closely with our health centers to ensure that people are trained, especially the healthcare providers, to have access to trainings for how to insert and provide these devices, and that they're also able to practice and continue practicing. And so we connect them to different training opportunities and ensure that everyone's up to date with just the latest methods, et cetera, because we want to ensure that healthcare providers know what they're doing and feel comfortable and confident supplying these methods as well.
Laura, one thing I wondered is, do you ever get pushback from people when you're doing outreach or you're at an event with a table and offering information, and people come and say, you know, I'm pro-life, or I believe in, you know, families, or I'm against birth control? How often does that occur?
This is always an interesting question. We get asked this a lot because of our context here in Oklahoma. And the surprising news is that happens very rarely. I think when you take birth control and conversation about it out of a really politicized space, people just see this as a good resource. It's worth noting that according to a Gallup poll, 89% of Americans think birth control is fine. It's less controversial than divorce. And that number shocks people sometimes, but what we find when we're out there doing outreach and tabling and talking with people is most times responses are, oh, this is good. This is a good resource. It might not be for that person, and they might say, oh, it's not for me, or I don't really agree with it. But people aren't adversarial because they know a good resource when they see it, and usually they just have questions.
That's nice to hear. I mean, that's good news. So I'm also looking at some of your statistics since 2009, your baseline year. So you've served over 15,000 women?
Actually 16,000 now, yeah.
Excellent. And I expect that number to grow and probably grow, I mean, even faster in some ways, because you're sort of ramping up your abilities, right?
Yeah. So we have seen steadily year over year more and more women choosing these methods at our partner clinic sites. And we're hoping to continue having a wider reach because we know from other states that have done similar work that these methods can be far more popular than they currently are. And we know that more women will choose these when given information and access.
And so I think we mentioned it earlier, but the teen birth rate has declined 42% is what the statistics say. That's here in Tulsa County, right?
Yes.
And then, but that's part of an overall national trend that teen pregnancy rates are going down nationally. So what we're finding is that, let me see, you have a gap here, 27%. Tell me what this is.
Oh, yeah. So the Oklahoma Policy Institute did a policy brief on Take Control's work about a year ago. And what they did is they looked at 18 demographically similar comparison counties in Oklahoma that don't have a program like Take Control's to see, what can drive the difference or change when it comes to our teen birth rate. And they found that Tulsa County's teen birth rate has decreased 27% more than those comparison counties, again, which don't have a program like Take Controls. And so that helps us know that this kind of work does drive that change.
There's one other note on some of your notes here is that I guess when you use social media campaigns, and obviously that appeals to the young folks and these teens specifically, that you seem to have a bigger impact right away. I mean, it's noticeable.
Yes. So we have really robust social media. And a huge part of that's because when we looked at our data, which we collect quarter over quarter, we found that during quarters when we have social media campaigns up and running compared to quarters when we do not, 22% more women on average access our partner clinic sites for IUDs and implants. And that's a huge difference. And it's so exciting to get to see that from images and information we're putting out there through Facebook and Instagram.
Wow, that's really is a good news story. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Laura Bellis, Executive Director of the Take Control Initiative, which is a Tulsa-based group that works to empower women through education, outreach, and free clinical services for the most effective kinds of birth control. And Laura, I'm wondering, I mean, when I talked to you offline, you know, I thought your background was in healthcare or public health, and I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, to find out you actually started your career, I think, as a school teacher, right? Tell us about how you came to Tulsa.
Yeah, so I came to Tulsa with Teach for America in 2011. There was a send where most needed button that I clicked, and so that year pretty much placed you in Tulsa, which I'd never heard of the city before. I taught at Hale Junior High for 5 years and really just fell in love with the city and all the amazing impact and progress I've gotten to see through my time here. And I know that sometimes surprises people to hear that I went from teaching into this public health setting, which of course, there's so much intersectionality between education and health.
Yeah, no, it seemed like almost a natural fit. And so was it your experience in teaching in a middle school population that led to your kind of comprehension or understanding of some gaps in education that pushed you in this direction?
Yes. So for starters, I definitely saw pregnant students when I was teaching 7th and 8th grade, which can be really hard to see a student having that trajectory so early in life when you know they're going to face so many critical challenges. Not because they personally should be shamed for this, but because society makes this a very difficult situation for them, especially getting to see the ways that so many different social services interacts with the school setting. We oftentimes talk about how so much is put on teachers and education to solve a lot of things. And I, over time, got to see how all of these families who are intersecting with our public education system are likely intersecting with our health system too. And this is a huge component of people's lives, especially when we talk about things like our transportation issues. The same transportation issues that can affect a student arriving to school affects a student's ability to access a health center as well. And I got to see that play out so much during my time teaching.
So now that you're running the Take Control Initiative and you have this background in education, I mean, what are some of the educational goals, I guess, of Take Control Initiative, and what places are you active in the community?
Yeah, so we do comprehensive education sessions that go over all methods of birth control because we feel it's important for people to know all of their options and how to access them. And during those sessions, we also cover information about your body and your cycle and healthy birth spacing. A lot of those why pieces of birth control, people so often think of it as for prevention and don't always consider those healthy birth spacing components as well. And it's been great to bring some of my teacher background and curriculum design pieces for it because we've had the opportunities to really add some interactive games and make these sessions a really positive and fun experience for the women we work with. So we go to a variety of sites to do these education sessions. Through DIVIS, we are at David L. Moss. We go to Women in Recovery. And we work with Strong Tomorrows, which is a wonderful program at Tulsa Public Schools, which works with expectant and parenting students. We're at 12 and 12 and Palmer. We work with pretty much any site that will invite us in. We'll go in and do sessions with women, and we'll also sometimes stay around after to answer follow-up questions or help people make appointments because sometimes it's really hard and scary to make that phone call to a health center. And then we also do education for case managers and social workers and people who work at programs that provide services to clients because they're the boots on the ground really working with people every day, and we want to empower them with information to then extend to their clients.
So what are some of the things you see for Take Control Initiative, you know, in the future, given that it seems like in our current healthcare climate, there seems to be some amount of pushback, at least federally, under the Affordable Care Act, where birth control was essentially a part of the package. So it was absolutely kind of a considered a mandatory option. It seems as though that may be on the table as something that could be cut out, or a conscientious objection to providing certain companies and things. Are you having to reframe some of your efforts around that?
I think what we're looking at now is how do we ensure access and expand what we do to meet need, especially if there is more need in the future. And we know what we do is both replicable and scalable. We have a specially custom designed data system that's able to add more partners and grow, et cetera. And so what we're really looking at right now is how do we grow what we do, because there looks like there could be more need, and it's a critical time to ensure people still have access, especially in the face of, as I mentioned earlier, our rising mortality and morbidity rates. I think it's worth noting, right next door in Texas, they have the highest maternal mortality and morbidity rates in the developed world. And Oklahoma is not far behind that. There's a lot of mothers and children who could have poor health outcomes without access to healthy preconception resources. This is about ensuring people can get healthy before they're pregnant and have pregnancies that are planned so that they can be fully prepared both financially, emotionally, and physically. And so we want to ensure people have access to these resources. And so right now we're really trying to see how can we expand access.
Laura Bellis is the executive director of the Take Control Initiative, which is a group here in Tulsa County working to empower women through education, outreach, and free clinical services for highly effective birth control. And one of the great success stories in public health and collaborative education in Tulsa. Laura Bellis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
For more information about the Take Control Initiative, you can go to their website, takecontrolok.org. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. If you've missed any of our shows, you can stream them online anytime on a smartphone, tablet, or computer. Just go to our website, studiotulsa.org. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.